Okay, so the next few weeks we're going to be learning together topics about halachos of marriage. Basically, we'll be studying topics that come up at the beginning of Shulchan Aruch Evan HaEzer. Evan HaEzer might be the least studied of all the four volumes of Shulchan Aruch, but there are many interesting issues. So this week we'll talk about who has and who does not have a mitzvah to get married. And then we will move on to how you fulfill the mitzvah of having children, etc. Then we'll talk also about artificial insemination. Maybe today at the end we'll make a brief comment about artificial insemination. Then I also want to talk about Cherem de Rabbeinu Gershom, this prohibition that Ashkenazi Jews have about not marrying two wives. So that's like the next 4 weeks in a nutshell. So let's begin with who has a mitzvah to get married. First halacha in Evan HaEzer, Simin Aleph Seif Aleph, right at the beginning, 1-1, says, Chayav ko'odam lisa isha kidei lifros v'lirbos, that there's an obligation of every person to get married in order to lifros v'lirbos, in order to procreate, in order to have children. It's an obligation, okay? There's a chiyuv, an obligation to get married. This is very important. The Five O'Cohen is like a posek in Brooklyn. So in the RJJ journal, I forgot the number, but we have it here on the shelf somewhere. In the RJJ journal, the gray one that came out like 3 or 4 years ago, so he penned an article where he basically discusses what is so-called the shidduch crisis. Now, I don't like the term shidduch crisis. I've spoken about it in show. I don't like the term shidduch crisis, etc., but people certainly do perceive that there is greater difficulty for people to get married today than there's been in the past. For better or for worse, true or not true, I don't know. Better or for worse, right? Okay. So, true or not true, I don't know. But the fact is, people do perceive this issue. So, Reb Five O'Cohen writes in his article that he thinks that one of the contributing factors to this so-called crisis is the fact that people view marriage like it's something that's supposed to enhance life and benefit us and make things better, whereas in reality there is an obligation, there is a mitzvah to get married, and mitzvahs are things that I do, like it or not. That is his argument. Now, there has been a few articles about this in the Atlantic Monthly a couple of years ago. There was an article about settling for Mr. Good Enough.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Remember this?
Yeah.
Right? So, again, all of these articles are basically coming to the point that maybe people are being too picky, too choosy, and they should realize that just get married and end it. Whether we think this is correct or it's incorrect, it certainly is a perspective that we have to contend with. And Shulchan Aruch says, a chayiv kol adam, every person has an obligation to get married. Now, the reason to get married is kidei lifros v'lirbos, in order to have children. Right? That is given. Apparently, you cannot have children in the halachic framework without being married. Right? No? Is that what it says? I should get married in order to have children. I can't, in a halakhically sanctioned way, have children without being married.
Does this mean you haven't, if you have children, as they used to say, out of wedlock, that you have not...
So children out of wedlock is something that we will probably talk about next week. We paskin, halacha l'maaseh, that you fulfill the mitzvah peruvu if I have a mamzer as a child. Okay? That I still get the mitzvah peruvu. A child out of wedlock still fulfills the mitzvah, but it's not a halachically sanctioned way of having children. Now, what about the...
Wouldn't that violate what the Shulchan Aruch is saying?
Shulchan Aruch says I have to get married in order to fulfill the mitzvah peruvu.
Wait, but you just said that you can fulfill that if you're not...
So I can fulfill... I will technically get the mitzvah, but that's not a halachically sanctioned way of getting the mitzvah. In other words, sometimes I could get a mitzvah through doing something that's wrong, no? There's a mitzvah in the Torah, for example, v'heshevas ha'gazel asher gozal. If I steal from you, I have a mitzvah to return what I stole.
Right.
Right? I'm not supposed to do that. Right? Let's be very clear. Right? Don't steal in order to hinei mucham zera, I want to be mekayem the mitzvah v'heshevas ha'gazel. Don't do that.
Okay.
Or stealing out of love.
stealing a lulav, right? That's, again, there are issues of mitzvah haba veira. Certainly, it could be that you don't fulfill the mitzvah at all, and that's what we'll have to talk about in the context of a mamzer next week. But
with the lulav case, can't you kind of donate it to someone?
Okay, so now we're talking modern technology. We'll get there in a minute.
They say it's yours for now.
It's mine for now.
That person's saying that they're borrowing it, or not borrowing. There's some.
With the lulav. Yeah, not about children. With the lulav.
There's some technical thing you can
do. I mean, just get confused.
You can do, even though it's not yours.
There are ways of technically fulfilling the mitzvah. Day one, the lulav has to be mine. The first day of Sukkot, the second day of Sukkot also. The rest of Yom Tov, it doesn't have to be mine. Can do in the first few days is something called matana manasa hachzir. I could ask for a gift. I could get a gift. Right, on the condition to return it to you, and that's some sort of fulfillment.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Tricky about children.
Now, so everyone has an obligation to get married in order to fulfill the mitzvah of lifros v'lirbos. Now, chayiv kol adam, again, the simple reading is every person, that means men and women. The Gemara in Yevamos, which we have at the bottom of this sheet, is going to tell us that women are technically not obligated in the mitzvah of Revu, but women still have an obligation to get married in order to procreate. Right? It might not be the same exact mitzvah of Pur Revu, but one thing that we'll try to develop as the shir goes on is that women do have a chiyuv. It might not be Pur Revu, but there is some sort of chiyuv that women have to get married as well. Okay? It's not only for men. Now, Shulchan Aruch then has some harsh lines. Kol mi she'eino osek b'per yivu revu ki'ilu shofech damim. If you are not usik prepared for it. What does that mean? That probably means if you make a decision, the conscious decision, not to marry ever. A person who makes a conscious decision, I will never marry, right? Shalom alai nafshi, I like it on my own. So that person, Chazal, have very harsh words for it. Ki'ilu shofech damim, it says, if you are murdering, umemaitis hadamus, v'gon l'shkinish had sestalak mi Yisrael, etc. Okay?
Do they apply that concept to both men and women?
It sounds like it applies to both. So far, everything over here sounds like it applies to both men and women, that there's an obligation to marry. Again, it might not be the obligation of Pru Revu, we'll talk about later, but there is an obligation of everyone to get married in order to procreate. It could be that men technically have the obligation to procreate, women don't, but women have some obligation in this arena. We'll have to focus on it.
But how can they both have the obligation?
We'll have to focus on that in a few minutes. We'll get to the issue with women specifically in a couple of minutes. You see it's on the sheets. It's women's obligation. We just have to get there. Source number two. When I say everyone has an obligation to get married, right? So the Minchas Chinuch, right? The Minchas Chinuch has a question. He says, what about a mamzer? Remember, a mamzer is somebody who technically cannot marry within the klal. He can't marry a normal Jewess. A mamzeres can't marry, right? You can't marry a normal person. A mamzer can marry a mamzeres, right, but the children will remain mamzerim, right? Yeah. A mamzer is allowed to marry a giyores, but the children remain mamzerim, right? The stigma remains. No? A mamzer can marry a shifcha. We don't have this institution anymore. A mamzer can marry, a shifcha is this female slave. The halacha is that you marry a female slave, the children are not fully Jewish. The children have the status of avodim.
Is that...
Right?
Would that be true with an eved Kanani?
A shifcha is an eved. An eved ivri, a mamzer cannot marry an oma ivriya. An oma ivriya is a full-fledged Jewish girl. A mamzer can't marry her. A mamzer is allowed to marry a shifcha knainus, technically.
Not a Jewish
maidservant, but a non-Jewish maidservant, or a partially Jewish maidservant.
Children, because she's aren't fully Jewish, so what if the children convert?
So the children convert. So the Mishnah tells us in Kedushin that that's the way that a mamzer can have children who are not mamzerim. Oh. A mamzer marries a shifcha, no? You marry a maidservant. The children produced from that union are going to be avodim, slaves. You free the slave, and then they are perfectly fine Jews without any stigma whatsoever. Right? That's how we do it. That's the way for... Now, this does not work anymore, because we don't have the institution of slavery. Rav Moshe Sternbach, who is the Rav in South Africa, okay, before apartheid, so he actually discusses these questions for real. We don't want to talk about this in public. Okay?
No,
but, Adkan. Fine. So the question is, the Minchas Chinuch questions, what about a mamzer? Does a mamzer have a mitzvah to get married? Now, one should argue, why not? No? The halacha is, every person has a mitzvah to get married, every Jew. A mamzer is a full-fledged Jew, no? If a person, a person Nebuch is a mamzer, right, he has to wear tefillin every day. If a young woman is a mamzer, she has to light Shabbos candles, she has to do all the mitzvahs in the Torah, no? Getting married is a mitzvah. So, the Minchas Chinuch argues, right, that maybe, he calls it the Prima Godin, has a question about whether a mamzer has to get married. Does the mamzer also have the mitzvah to get married? He says, well, since a mamzer is obligated in all mitzvos, so then probably you have to get married. But on the other hand, one second, if the reason to get married is to produce children, and the children over here are going to be the type of children that God doesn't really want, right? God doesn't want, right, laharbos psulim be Yisrael. God wants the Jewish people to be a pure people. He doesn't want these little foundlings floating around, no? So, maybe it should be that the mamzer has no obligation to get married because of this outside concern not to be marbe psulim be Yisrael. And that's a suffix that the Minchas Chinuch really deals with. He doesn't have a complete conclusion as to whether a mamzer is obligated in the mitzvah peruvu. He says a ger amoni, right, that's an interesting question, no? If I'm an amoni, I come from Amon, so the halacha is that what? We know from Rus. What's the din of the children of an amoni? So the sons are amoni, lo yavo, Amoni b'kahal Hashem, the children, the boys, can't marry full-fledged Jews. The girls can, right? Amoni v'lo amonis, mo'avi v'lo mo'avis, right? So that's why Rus was a kosher Jewess, correct?
Right.
Because the girls are kosher. The offspring of a Amoni or mo'avi, girls are fine, guys are a problem. No? So, do I assume that the Amoni has a mitzvah puravu? To have puravu, technically you need a son and a daughter, no? So,
you can't have a son.
What?
The son is going to be an issue.
The son is going to be an issue, because his son is going to be apostle. His daughter is going to be kosher. So the Minchas Chinuch is not really sure about this. Also, again, you have to be brilliant and warped at the same time to ask these types of questions, but that's what the Minchas Chinuch, that's what the Minchas Chinuch is dealing with. Now, this issue of taking into account the type of children who we're going to have as being possibly problematic and therefore possibly removing the issue of pru-revu, removing the mitzvah of pru-revu, comes into play in the following way. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and Rav Moshe Feinstein both discuss, does someone with genetic diseases, Nebuch, okay, I have a friend who lost 4 children, okay, just to put it out on the table, genetic diseases still exist. He and his wife decide to stay together. I was at Levi's, my friend lost children, if a person has a genetic disease that will carry over to the next generation. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach discusses hemophilia, no? Or other genetic diseases that he says that the parents are going to be kol yemehem b'tza'ar. Right? This I'm quoting from, there's an excellent sefer from medical halacha called the Nishmas Avraham, Dr. Abraham S. Abraham. There are 4 volumes of it, so I just photocopied a few pages for myself. I probably should have attached it to the sheets, but I didn't. The Nishmas Avraham discusses quotes from Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Now, if a person has hemophilia I think means that you're going to have a 50% likelihood that your children have hemophilia. I think that's where the genetics break down, no? Because it's a male-dominant thing. So all your girls, I think, won't have hemophilia. Your boys will, no? I think that's the way it works. Again, it's been a while since I did genetics. So if you have a genetic disease and you know...
What? The girls can carry it.
The girls can carry it, but it won't manifest.
But they won't have it except that they're, whoever they married, blah, blah, they may end up having boy children that have it.
Correct. Right, I think that's correct. So again, hemophilia is, I think it is technically possible for a female to have it, but it's exceedingly rare.
Right.
Now, so you know that your children will have a genetic disease. Are you under an obligation to get married? Do I say, one second, right, think about it. Your kids, you're going to have such terrible tsar, such terrible pain. Your kids have these diseases, are going to have this disease or potentially have this disease. Usually we assume that I have to do a mitzvah. I have to do mitzvahs unless, right, the halacha is I don't do a mitzvah if I will lose more than a fifth of my possessions, no? A fifth of my additional possessions I need to live life. If I could get by, let's say, on $100 a day, right, and I earn 120, that's a fifth of 100, right? Because...
The 20.
Right? 120 is a fifth. That's... Yeah, you have to... That's Gemara math, okay? But an extra fifth, right? So I earn $120 a day, and I can get by in 100. So I'm not obligated to spend $21 to have... Right? To do any mitzvah. The tsar that I go through by having, or potentially having children who might have a disease, Rav Shlomo Zalman thinks that maybe that's grounds not to... have an obligation to get married. In other words, even though Shulchan Aruch sounds like every person has to get married, we're saying that maybe the mamzer doesn't have a mitzvah because the children the mamzer will have are going to be tainted, right? And the person with the genetic disease maybe doesn't have a mitzvah to get married also because will be tainted. Then Reb Shlomo Zalman goes further in his tshuvas in the Mincha Shlomo in volume 3, Simen Kuf Gimel, Simen 103. Reb Shlomo Zalman wants to say that maybe if a person is, what's the term today? I forgot the correct term, but someone that used to be called like mentally retarded. If both spouses have some limited functioning, right? What? Intellectually disabled, intellectually challenged, right? Thank you. I just... What?
It's an intellectual disability as opposed to mentally retarded.
Right. So if both parents have intellectual disabilities, now again, you have to speak to the genetics counselors. Sometimes it will carry over, sometimes it won't. But if they tell you that it will carry over again, Rev Shlomo Zalman Auerbach thinks that there... is likely to be no obligation in Prut Ravu. In other words, that you could decide not to marry, or you could decide to marry and use methods of birth control. That's got to be a topic that we'll have to address at length. Use methods of birth control your entire married life and never have children. Yeah?
What about
people who can't have children? People who can't have children. So... technically speaking, it could be that there is no obligation to marry in order to have children. There might be obligations to marry for other reasons. In other words, that marriage has halachic benefits in terms of children. Marriage also has halachic benefits. The Gemara has an issue that is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. There might not be such a Gemara, but Shulchan Aruch says that there's a reason to get married to avoid chshad. Right, to avoid that if you're not going to be married, people might always, again, I think in Washington Heights this wouldn't be true, but people are always suspicious of...
Listen, people might not be suspicious if a 35-year-old is not married, but if there's a 60-year-old guy who's not married, you wonder. You might have absolutely no business.
You might have no business wondering. It's probably incorrect to wonder about it, but the reality is that maybe people do cast aspersions, and maybe that is a reason to get married for that. Now, there's also the psychological benefits of getting married and trying to have companionship, etc. And Chazal also say, and this is quoted at the beginning of Shulchan Aruch, that Shari below Isha is below Torah, below Tova, below etc., that all the good things in life, now again, what this means exactly, I don't know, but There are statements to that effect in the Gemara. Now, so again, Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says that he thinks genetic diseases and people who are intellectually disabled, challenged, etc., might not have an obligation to get married. Rev Moshe Feinstein writes, for some reason, very hard to understand, but I give you the Maror Makom here, Rav Moshe Feinstein writes that he thinks that if you're ill, you still have an obligation to get married, but maybe you should marry in a way that you won't have children in a halachically sanctioned way. Rav Moshe doesn't even okay birth control in these cases. He says, marry a woman who's already past her childbearing years. That's what he tells the fellow. Again,
the fellow's 25.
The fellow's 25 is going to marry a 60-year-old.
Yeah, right.
Right? Now, generally, Chazal look down on these types of marriages, no? That if you marry someone much older than you and much younger than you, that the Gemara says is not a recipe for happiness. The Gemara says not to do it. It's a very difficult Rav Moshe, and Rav Shlomo Zalman is not really convinced that you will... Fine. What about somebody who is just poor? A person who just doesn't earn a living and his wife doesn't earn a living. Sometimes you have a person who's like, we call them a lo yitzlach, no? They just can't hold a job and it isn't going. Do they have an obligation to get married, knowing that they won't be able to raise children? So there were some who felt that there's an obligation to get married, produce children, and someone else will raise them. Right, you'll send them to grandparents, to uncles, to aunts, to neighbors, and
the orphanage.
Someone else will raise them. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach gets very upset about this, no? He says, well, how can you have children and put them as a burden on others, right? He says, right, you can't obligate other people. Moreover, he thinks that it's likely... Rav Shlomo Zalman strongly, again, in this same tshuva, he strongly recommends that he gets very close to saying definitely don't marry, but he just hedges on it a bit. He doesn't say that explicitly. Okay, so these are some of the issues in terms of who has to get married and who doesn't have to get married. There is another conversation that we probably will not have now. There's a whole conversation in Shulchan Aruch about someone who decides to delay marriage, or maybe even, there are two ways of reading the Rambam, maybe even permanently not marry, because it's nafsho chashka b'Torah, because like Ben Azai, the person loves Torah so much, and I think there is a Chaim Grada story about somebody like this, no? Whatever. So, is that halachically a good idea or not a good idea? That's a full conversation for a different time, not for now. Good. So far we have the obligations to get married. Next. Men are obligated to get married based on the mitzvah of pru revu. Women do not have the mitzvah of pru revu. Let's move on to the section that begins women's obligation. Mishnah in Yevamos on Samech Hei Amid Beis tells us ha'ish mitzuva aper yevarivya avalo ha'isha, that men are obligated in procreation. Again, procreation is halachically defined as a son and a daughter, right? That's the mitzvah of pru revu. Right, men have the mitzvah. The Mishnah says not women. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, the Tana, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka disagrees. He says, "Al shneihem hu omer vayvarich otam elokim vayomer lahem elokim pru revu." Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka says that both men and women were commanded pru revu. The Gemara tells us that the Tana Kama, the first opinion, says that women are not obligated. He says that the pasuk that says that God, vayivarech osam alakim, says that God blessed them to have children. It doesn't say God obligated them to have children. This is a real question, how we read the last week's parasha, no? The words pru revu appear in Chumash four times, no? Four times? Fish, animals, humans, and Noach when he left the table. Four times. Right? The first three are by Adam, no? And then one other, when Noach leaves the table, that's coming up in this week's parasha, no? We're right there. Fine. So the Gemara asks, how do you know that women don't have the obligation? And the Gemara says a psychological insight, again, how this applies in our world is worth thinking about, but the Gemara says, Minahani Mili, why do I not have the obligation? Amar Bilam, Mishum Reblozer Ben Shimon, Amar Kra, Umil Ues Haaretz Vekiv Shuha, Ish Dark Olachabesh, Ve'ein Isha Dark Olachabesh, that men are aggressive, men go out to try to conquer, therefore men have the command to populate the world, because that's part of conquering, conquest, right? But women don't. That's what the Gemara says. So women do not have the obligation to marry in order to populate the world, but we pointed out earlier that it sounds like women do have an obligation to marry. This is mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. Also, Shulchan Aruch writes clearly, Isha eina metzuva periyah v'rivya, but the Ramah adds, Mikol makom yesh omrim d'lo tamo below isha mishum chashod. This is what we mentioned earlier, that even though women technically don't have perivu, but they should get married because, again, for better or for worse, not for better, for worse, people will question if they don't get married. Now, the Gemara in Kedushin tells us that, in fact, women do have an obligation and a mitzvah to get married, no? The Mishnah in the second parak of Kedushin says, right, against the Gemara in Yevamos. The Gemara in Yevamos says, men have the command to have children, not women. But the Mishnah in Kedushin says, Ha'ish mekadesh bo b'shlucho, that a man can get married through his shaliach, or on his own. Ha'isha mitkadeshet ba'u b'shlucha. A woman can get married on her own or through a messenger. I used to joke around with my wife. When we were engaged, I said, you know, I don't have to show up to the wedding. I'll just make a shaliach. I'll appoint somebody, and he'll show up to the wedding. So she said she'll also appoint someone. Then, like, we'll have this wedding, and, like, both of us aren't there.
Proxy weddings are invalid in New York State.
They're invalid in New York State. Spoken by a lawyer. Okay. So it's good that we didn't do that. But in fact, getting married on our own is probably not such a bad idea. I've never been to a wedding, Ayidei Shaliach, but the halacha technically is that you don't have to get married yourself. You can have an emissary, a messenger, do it for you. Right? A proxy. So the Gemara has a question. If I could get married through a shaliach, how come I get married on my own? How can the Mishnah has to say that I can get married on my own if I can use a shaliach? So my answer is, Rav Yosef mitzvah bo yosef b'shlucho, that I should do it myself rather than a shaliach. Mitzvah bo yosef b'shlucho. It's always better to do a mitzvah myself, right, and not to make a shaliach. Rashi has the famous comment here that d'chi asik gufei b'mitzvus mekabel schar tvei, that when I am physically involved in the mitzvah, I exert myself, I do it myself, so I get more reward. It's better if I have an opportunity to build a mitzvah, to build a sukkah, I should do it myself, I shouldn't hire somebody, no? If I could tie my own tzitzis, I should do it myself. If I could, I have an opportunity to do my own mitzvah, I should do it preparing for Shabbos, no? The Gemara says that Rav and Reb Zeira, the Amoraim, even though they used to learn so much, but they have an opportunity to do the mitzvah themselves, to prepare for Shabbos. So Rav would salt a fish. The Gemara says he would salt a dolphin, a shibuta. In modern Hebrew, shibuta is a dolphin. The dolphin is not kosher. So he probably wasn't salting a dolphin to eat for Shabbos. He probably salting some other fish called shibuta. The Gemara Menachos, I think, tells us that a shibuta is the one fish that tastes like a chazer or something. If you want to taste, right, the Gemara says that every non-kosher animal has a kosher equivalent, no? Even before they invented bacon bits. This is true. I think you eat a shibut.
How would they know?
Obviously, they trusted a non-Jew to tell them.
Okay.
Right? Fine. So, the Gemara says that I should get married myself, I should salt the fish myself for Shabbos, and not empower an emissary to do it for me. Right? Kiha, the Rav Safra, Machrech Resha, Rav Amalach Shibuta. Right? That's what the Gemara says. Then the Gemara adds, you know what? Ki'in mad Rav Yosef. When we say that I should do it myself, it's not talking about the man getting married. It's going on asefa. It's ma'isha miskadeshes ba'u b'shlucha, that a woman gets married on her own and through her emissary. The Gemara asks, hashta b'shlucha mikdasha ba mibaya, that if she could get married through a shaliach, why would she get married herself? On Rav Yosef, mitzvah ba yosef b'shlucha. There's a mitzvah for her to get married more than her shaliach. So hold it. Time out. Why does she have a mitzvah to get married? Didn't we say that women don't have a mitzvah to get married? That only men are obligated in Peruvu, not women? How come this Gemara Kedushin is telling us that women have an obligation? So there are three explanations I know to this question, three answers to this question. The Ran on the Rif says, I underlined it. The afagad isha ina mitzuva beperi v'rivim mikomakim yesha mitzvah mipneshi hi misayas lebal l'kayim mitzvah so. Okay? The Ran takes the approach that women's obligation to get married is simply to help the man fulfill his mitzvah. She has no obligation of her own. She helps him with his mitzvah. That's the approach that the Ran takes in Kedushin. Women, technically, according to the Ran, do not have any obligation to marry. A man has an obligation, but it takes two to tango. So therefore, she is helping him with his obligation. We see similar type of ideas. There is a concept in Halacha and the Sefer Charedim that I'm not a Kohen, by the way, right? I'm a Yisrael. So the Sefer Charedim says, even though I'm not a Kohen, but I have a mitzvah to be there by Duchening. Because the Kohen gets a mitzvah through me, no? So therefore, I'm helping him with his mitzvah. It's a very similar idea to what the Ran is saying over here, right? I have a mitzvah to, and it sounds like it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, right? It sounds like it's a Torah command. I have a mitzvah, a Torah command to help this Kohen do his mitzvah. I have a mitzvah as a woman to help the guy do his mitzvah to get married. Of course, if you take this idea to absurd, you can take this idea to absurd conclusions. On the Sefer Emek Bracha, Rabbi Primarchik questions, he says, one second, you're going to tell me that the Ani, the poor fellow, right, gets a mitzvah because he is helping the rich fellow give tzedakah. No? It's all absurd, no?
Well, that's fine.
Right, but do I get a mitzvah? Right, in other words,
if you get a mitzvah,
to get a mitzvah because
sick person,
huh? I get a mitzvah by being sick because I'm helping you fulfill the mitzvah bikur cholim. It becomes a little absurd, right? But again, there is a position in the Sefer Charedim that is amplified by the Hafla'a, by the Pinchas Halevi Haritz, etc. Fine. So that is one approach. Then, others question. Again, we said that women don't have an obligation per revu, but yet we say that a woman has an obligation, has a mitzvah to get married. What mitzvah does a woman have to get married? By the way, just FYI, if you read the Rashis on that Gemara in Kedushin, this used to be my favorite Rashi before I got married. So Rashis in the Gemara in Kedushin says, when you speak about the mitzvah bo yosim b'shlucha, mitzvah bo yosim b'shlucha, so Rashi says that the mitzvah is to try to get married. So I used to feel that there's a mitzvah to go on dates. No? Because there's a mitzvah to try to get married. Right? Both for guys and for girls. Both for men and for women. Right? If you read the Rashi, he says it explicitly. That there's a mitzvah to try to get married. The way we try to get married is, I don't know, you go on a date. And that's how you try to get married. Huh? So this was... Right. I still think that's correct, actually. So now, the Chida, in the Sefer Birkei Yosef, the Chida writes, what do you mean that women have an obligation, have a mitzvah to get married, right? We say that they don't. So he writes that afogav in the second line, the itzalo mifka the peri v'riv, you know, a woman is not commanded, midrabonon miha mechaiva. Right? His first explanation is that women don't have the Torah obligation to get married, but they do have an obligation, midrabonon. They have a rabbinic obligation to get married. The second explanation he gives is that even though they don't have a genuine command to get married, but if they get married, they fulfill a mitzvah and they get the reward. In other words, we have a concept in halacha called a mitzvah kiyumis. Sometimes I'm obligated to do a mitzvah, and sometimes I have no obligation to do a mitzvah, but if I do it, right, I get brownie points. Now, this is what Rav Soloveitchik famously commented about the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. No? There's a mitzvah to live in Israel, yet we don't do it. How come? So Rav Soloveitchik said, the mitzvah to live in Israel isn't an obligatory mitzvah in the sense of I have to do it. It's a mitzvah that if I do it, I get points. If I move to Eretz Yisrael, I get a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, I get extra brownie points, I get extra reward. But right, we have this concept a few times in Halacha, a few rare times. Eating matzah all 7 days of Pesach, no? Famously, the Pasuk sounds like I have to eat matzah the first day of Yontif, no? The Vilna Gaon comments, if you read another pasuk, it sounds like you have to eat matzah all 7 days of Pesach. What does that mean? That means the obligation to eat matzah is the first day of Pesach. But if I eat matzah all 7 days of Pesach, I get a mitzvah. So, The Birkei Yosef wants to say this in the context of marriage for a woman also. She doesn't have an obligation. If she would decide not to marry on her own, maybe, again, barring this issue of chashad, of people looking askance at her, so she would maybe be able not to marry, technically, but should she get married, she also gets a mitzvah. That's explanation number two. Fine. Now, the Birkei Yosef then goes on and he proves that women have an obligation to get married from a famous case with Rabbeinu Tam. There was a case like this. The halacha is, I'm not someone who nebuch is during Shloshim, no? He lost a close relative, and within 30 days of the death of the relative, the halacha is that you can't have simcha, no? Shloshim, it's aveilos, right? You're mourning for 30 days. So Rabbeinu Tam has a case like this. Echad Shashidech, umeis, right? You see in the second paragraph in the Chida. Echad Shashidech, a fellow got engaged. Umeis achi hamishudeches, karav l'chupa. And the brother of the girl died right before they're supposed to get married. So now, is she allowed to get married in Avelis? Right? I could say maybe he's allowed to get married because he has a mitzvah. Right, if Nebuch, if the Chassan's brother would die, but the Kala, what mitzvah does she have to get married? Rabbeinu Tam saying, you know what? She's allowed to get married. Why? Why? Because obviously there's some mitzvah for the woman also. Mm-hmm. Right? Again, we're just trying to buttress the point. I don't think it's Reform Judaism to say that even though the Gemara says that women don't have an obligation to get married, they don't have an obligation pre-revu, technically, but they do have an obligation to get married for other reasons. Either it's a rabbinic obligation, or it's an obligation to help him in his mitzvah, or it's an obligation in the sense of that if they get married, they get points. But we definitely see from this psak of Rabbeinu Tam that women have an obligation, have some sort of mitzvah to get married. Now, this question, though, depends on two different versions of a Tosefta. Just very quickly, the Tosefta here in Yevamos, the Bar Ilan only has the Lieberman edition of the Tosefta. There's also the Tosefta that appears in the back of the Gemara. The Tosefta, the way we have it, says, Ein Rashai, the second line of the Tosefta, second line on the top of the third page, Ein Rashai Levatel, Ha'ish Ein Rashai Leishev Velo Isha, Isha Eina Rasha'a Leishev Velo Ish, no? The way that Tosefta in the Lieberman edition appears says that a man cannot remain without being married. A man has to get married. V'isha eina rasha'a leishev lo ish. A woman cannot be without a husband. A woman also has an obligation to get married. That's the way the Lieberman edition of the Tosefta has it. The other edition of the Tosefta says that ein rasha'i leishev lo isha, that a man has to get married. V'isha rasha'a leishev lo ish. That woman does not have to get married. There are two different girsaos in this Tosefta. In the Tosefta Kefshuta, Shaul Lieberman tries to prove that the text that he has is the correct text, whatever it's worth. Now, what type of obligation do women have to get married? What pasuk is it based on? So it might not be based on the pasuk of Pru Urevu, but there's another pasuk that the Gemara teaches us in Gittin, in Bava Basra, etc., that there's a pasuk called a pasuk in Yeshaya, Lo Tohu Bira'a Lo Shevas Yitzara. That when God created the world, He didn't create the world to be desolate, to be empty. God instead created the world, Lo Shevas, that it should be populated. Hashem wants the world to be populated. That's a mitzvah called Shevas. Shevas is a mitzvah that is very similar to Pru Revu, but might not be governed by exactly the same rules of Pru Revu. In other words, Pru Revu is a technical mitzvah, son and daughter. Shevas means to populate the world.
Regardless whether there's a
chiyuv
or not.
Regardless if there's a chiyuv of Pru Revu or not,
still be yotza.
It could
more,
be that
at the end of the day, it's more populated.
Right. As long as at the end of the day, Hashem wants the world to be populated, and it's very possible, Taisus in Bava Basra, Taisus in Gittin discusses, it could be that women are obligated in the mitzvah of Shevas, not in the mitzvah of Pru Revu. So they don't technically have the pasuk of Pru Revu, right? But they still have a mitzvah to get married, and it's again, it's a mitzvah that's formulated by Yeshaya Hanavi. It's more severe than just an ordinary drabbanon. A drabbanon, a pasuk in the Navi has more severity than something that is just rabbinic. So there is a mitzvah to get married based on Shevis. This is paskin by the Beis Shmuel. The Beis Shmuel paskin as follows. He disagrees with the Chalkas Mechokik. Chalkas Mechokik and Beis Shmuel are the two main mefarshim on the Shulchan Aruch Eben HaEzer. The Chalkas Mechokik was named Moshe. He was the Dayan in Vilna. Okay? He was the first rabbi we know of in Vilna. There was no rabbis in Vilna until the 1620s. We don't know of Jews in Vilna. Really? There had to have been Jews there, but we don't know of any rabbis from there. I'll say it like that. It happens at around the same time that the University of Vilna was founded. We find Rabbanim in Vilna. I have a theory about this, which I don't think is much of a secret.
What's the theory?
I think that there's a certain connection that it became more of an intellectual type of community, and then
the rest is history.
Right? The only other rabbi that we know in Vilna at this time period, right, the next rabbi that we know is the Shach. The Shach, in fact, was, I think, 14 years old when he was appointed as a dayan on the Bezdin of the Chalkas Mechokek. The Shach, now, 14 isn't that young when you consider that the Shach died at the ripe old age of 41.
Yeah.
Right, so he was very, very young. He did not yet have smicha, and they made him a dayan. He tried to get smicha, rode away to different rabbis in Lithuania. There were no rabbis in Lithuania to give him smicha, and he needed his smicha. Fine. So the Chalkas Mechokek and the Beishmo are the two commentaries on Shulchan Aruch Eben HaEzer. And the Chalkas Mechokek says that we only, the halacha is, the Gemara tells us in Megillah, that we can only sell a Sefer Torah for two reasons. Lomo Torah v'lisa isha, no? If I want to sell a Sefer Torah, right, I can only sell a Sefer Torah. Actually, the board wanted to discuss an issue like this, no?
Yeah.
Are we allowed to sell the Sefer Torah in the shul? Right? So you can only sell a Sefer Torah, Lomo Torah, if I'm going to sell a Sefer Torah and use the money to learn, right? Or Lisa Isha, I'm going to sell a Sefer Torah in order to get married. Now, what does that mean? Am I allowed to sell the Sefer Torah to get married? What type of mitzvah of marriage? There's a few mitzvahs of marriage. Is the mitzvah of marriage from the man's perspective, a pruravu, the technical mitzvah? Or there's a mitzvah of marriage from a woman's perspective. So what about lahasi yisoma? That was the case. Can I sell a Sefer Torah, right? Not for hachnosis kale. No, the guy comes around, hachnosis kale. You're allowed to sell a Sefer Torah to, like, fill the hachnosis kale tray. So that's an achlokas between the Chalkas Mechokek and the Beishmo. The Chalkas Mechokek says, I'm only allowed to sell a Sefer Torah for the mitzvah of Pru Revu, which is Lahasi Yasom, to marry off the guy. But the Beishmo disagrees. In the second line, right, the beginning, he quotes the Kosa Chalkas Mechokek, we'll start from the beginning. Javka Misham Mitzvahs Peri of Arivya Mochim Sefer Torah of Lahasi Yasoma, Ein Mochim, you don't sell it in order to marry a girl off, Fachnasis Kala, right? Mihu, the Mashikasa Lakama, the Mochin Sefer Torah, Lakaim La Erva, Tanach Yodacha, Yeshlom Lahasi Yisoma, Nami Mochin Sefer Torah, Lakaim La Sheres Yitzara, the Ishanami Mitsuba Sheres, like Tysus Rates and Baba Basra, etc. In other words, he says that later on in Shulchan Aruch, it's clear that we sell a Sefer Torah for the mitzvah of La Erva Tanach Yodacha. La Erva Tanach Yodacha is another mitzvah in the Pru Revu framework. Even after a person has a son and a daughter, the Pasuk in Kohela says, Ba'aboker Zira Es Zar Echa, Vila Erva Tanach Yodacha. Right, that at the morning you sow your seeds, and at night you shouldn't relax. Right, you have children when you're young, continue to have children even as you get older. The pasuk is interesting. The pasuk says, because you don't know which one is going to be the good one. Right? It could be that your first kids are going to be lousy, and right, don't tell my kids I said this, and your next kids will be much better. So that's what the pasuk says. The Beis Shmuel says, if I sell a Sefer Torah to fulfill the mitzvah of La'erev al Tanach Yedecha, certainly I sell a Sefer Torah for the mitzvah of Sheves, and women are also obligated in Sheves. That is one explanation for this halacha, why we sell a Sefer Torah for Hachnosis Kala. The other explanation why we sell a Sefer Torah for Hachnosis Kala is given by the Tshuvas of the Maharam al Shakar, that's quoted in the Magen Avram, based on the Tosefta, a different Tosefta in Ksubos, not in Yevamos. The Tosefta says as follows. Tosefta writes that Yasam v'Yisom Hashem Avakshin Lisa. Let's say you have a guy and a girl who want to get married. Who do you marry off first? the guy or the girl. Says the Tosefta, Masim es hayisoma techila, v'achakach masim es hayasom. First you marry off the girl, then the guy. Why? V'mnei shebushata shel isha yoter min ha'esh. Is this true? That women apparently take it harder not being married than men do.
Oh,
now, I think psychologically this, again, from my experience, I think this might be true, even though from the halachic perspective one could argue that it's more of an obligation for men than for women, but the Tosefta says the busha of a woman not being married is greater than that of a man, and it could be that the reason we are selling the Sefer Torah, listen to this, right? I'm selling the Sefer Torah not because of the mitzvah qua mitzvah, but I'm selling the Sefer Torah to protect people from the stigma, the embarrassment of not being married. That is the conclusion of the Tosefta that Maharam al-Shakir quotes, La Halacha. Yeah.
I once knew an older woman who, well, she doesn't seem that much older now, but she never married for whatever reason, and she wore a shawl because you do the math, because it's important to say.
Interesting.
Because she didn't want to...
She
felt funny not covering her hair because everybody else...
Because everyone else is...
Right. Covered her hair, and she was a person who contributed a lot to the Jewish community.
Again, there is certainly... the Tosefta says that the busha of a woman not being married is worse than a man. Again, why this is true, I think, is worth thinking about. It's a statement in the Tosefta, a psychological insight, that women take it harder remaining single than men do. Is it true? Is it not true? I don't know. But the Tosefta says it. So it's worth...
You know, I think just experientially, and obviously, you know, but I think that's true. But on the other hand, I also think that somehow, even though women feel worse about it, that single women often just have their lives together better than
single women. Nice. Yeah, so let me turn off the recorder and then I'll make a statement.
Okay.
So the statement is like this. There is something that happens that as women become older, they become experienced, they go out in the world, they become more polished, more sophisticated, and men, as they get older and remain single, become more jlubby.
Right?
Now, I don't know how to define the word jlubby, but you know what it looks like. You know, the shirt tail is sticking out, and like nothing matches, and you just... And religiously, I find also, on a certain level, that it's true, that many of the women who have been single for a while remain committed. If anything, sometimes you find that women who have been single for a while become closer to Yiddishkeit. They're saying Tehillim and they're getting more involved in like frum activities. And guys, as they get older, sometimes show up to minyan less, keep Shabbos with a little less. And sometimes it's true. That, if you ask me, what a contributing factor to this so-called shidduch crisis, I think there's a certain imbalance between the women and the men in terms of where the priorities are as time goes on. Why this is true, I'm not sure. I have a lot of theories. I think it's a good conversation to have at some point, although it might get people very upset. But
which they probably need to hear it.
Yeah. So someone suggested that maybe the show would benefit from hiring, what's it called, like a professional shopper for some of the guys?
Oh, you mean to clean up their wardrobes?
Personal shopper.
Personal shopper?
Agreed.
I've done it.
There you have it.
My wife does buy my ties, although she did not look at me tonight before I came out, I have to admit, because like life is a little bit busy now.
Yes.
But, again, the fact is that the halacha technically is that women are not obligated in perivu, right? That's the din. But at the same time, that doesn't mean that that women don't have a mitzvah to get married. That's the basic cheshbon. Not only do they have a mitzvah, but for some reason, we also see the statement in the Tosefta that, for better or for worse, the Tosefta says that women, the busha social isha is yosem isha ish, that for women, remaining single somehow hurts them more than it does for men. Again, being... we'll leave it at that. These are just some of the comments. It's what to think about. Okay, thank you for coming, and we'll continue with, do people feel that these are topics that we should continue with, or is this a little too...